Welcome to Wrestling Goons Radio, the podcast from the IWC for the IWC. And this is the Raw reaction for April the 11th, 2016. Shane McMahon is in charge again. We got a full panel here with me tonight. 5 guests are going to be here, including myself. We have RJ Turner with us for the first time, and the usual suspects, Dan Tanner, Brian Compton, and Mark Pitts. We want to thank everybody listening to us on Max Sports Channel at Power Station FM. If you're listening to us online, you can catch us at www.wrestlinggoonsradio.blogspot.com. While you're there, check out all of our social media. Download us on iTunes and Stitcher. Just look for Wrestling Goons Radio and give us a like and subscribe. We'd appreciate it. We're going to hop right into the show, guys. I want to welcome everybody, and we'll get to you in a moment. We started the show with Shane McMahon in charge again. He's laying down the card for tonight. I want to start with Brian. Brian, what was your thoughts on Shane being back on the in charge again by the power of social media, which apparently the WWE listens to?
This would be the first time that they actually did. It was kind of weird that he was on there, seeing that he did lose at WrestleMania. I'm not going to complain. There are some that are complaining that it doesn't make sense. I don't care. I really don't care who's running Raw, but the last two Raws have been pretty great, in my opinion. So no complaints on my end, but I definitely like the fact that he started out the show again.
He said we're going to have new superstars, new opportunities, and fresh matchups. Now, I feel like that actually has started to happen. This week was definitely better than the week before. But we are getting things that we've never seen before, as we'll allude later on throughout the night. I want to welcome Dan to the show. Dan, what are your thoughts on Shane being in charge? Do you have a problem with it not making sense for the WrestleMania storyline?
No, not really, because I think it makes sense. I mean, I understand why you guys say it doesn't make sense, but at the end of the day, nobody wants to see The Undertaker lose anyways, and people still want Shane back or around. So it's a win-win situation. I mean, either way it goes, what if the tables were turned and Shane won and The Undertaker loses and he gets fired, and then you guys are going to say, oh, well, you know, Shane should bring him back. Then it's like defeats the purpose.
But kind of like that Authority storyline where John Cena had them fired and they were back in 3 weeks.
Yeah, though, but it still defeats the purpose of even, you know, having that sort of stipulation in the first place. But Shane being back again this past Monday night was cool. I was okay with it. I just want them to just say, hey, Shane is going to be around a lot longer than a week-to-week basis.
Mark, do you feel like this is leaning toward a permanent Shane running Raw, or do you think that maybe this is done after this week?
Honestly, I think that it's going to continue, except I think that there's going to be another power struggle, this time between Shane and Triple H, or Shane and Steph. As far as the match not making sense, I think that you could have taken that and ran that as a storyline leading into next year's WrestleMania. Was last year's really Taker's last? Is there some kind of shenanigans that get pulled at the last minute to try to find Taker a new opponent or to get a contract going? I think you could have taken that. What I think is that this was just a last-minute build-up to sell those extra WrestleMania tickets, and it did its job for WrestleMania, and now we get to see Shane.
Shane ran down the card, and it's going to be a phenomenal card that we're going to get into. RJ Turner, welcome to the show for the first time. We're glad to have you. This has been a long time coming. RJ, what was your thoughts on Shane McMahon running Raw? Did you have a problem with it associated with the WrestleMania storyline?
First of all, greetings. Thank you guys for having me. I really did not have a problem. I think, as I said before, the storyline did not make sense. The WrestleMania storyline did not make sense. But as Mark said, Shane served his purpose as far as WrestleMania goes, because he was there to put butts in seats, and that's what he did. So if anything, Vince gave us nostalgia with with Shane versus Undertaker, and it served its purpose as far as that match goes. So, of course, it didn't make sense, but the bigger picture of it was to save WrestleMania. If it, in my opinion, it needed saving. So Shane served that purpose. So I didn't see a big deal with him running Raw because we want Shane back and we got it. So there's no complaints here about that. I think the starting of the show, of course, was great. Not so much talking as usual, 20-minute promo, but it was awesome to me. The start of Raw was great.
I felt the same way until I heard the music of Kevin Owens hit, and it quickly realized to me that Kevin Owens is about to be on Burial City, because he's getting on the bad side of Shane McMahon. He came out and demanded his rematch there for the Intercontinental title that he never got. And it turns out that you don't demand things to Shane McMahon because he's going to wind up having to earn that rematch, which I thought was bogus, by the way. That's crap that he had to earn a rematch that he rightfully earned, and that was his. But he had to fight Cesaro, and that's how the match was going to start right there. We're going to go right into it. It was a great match back and forth, and guys, Cesaro knocks off Kevin Owens, and Kevin is just living after this match, and this leads to more Kevin and Shane dialogue later on in the show. I'll go to Dan first. Dan, I know you're not the biggest KO guy. You got to be enjoying Shane McMahon bullying him around, I would assume.
You would assume correct. The match itself was great. It was probably the best match of the night. And this is one of those matches that we really needed to have on Monday Night Raw. Kudos to Cesaro for selling that shoulder injury. I don't know if that was real or not, or if he's still having, you know, problems with it or whatnot. But I'm all for Cesaro going against The Miz. I wouldn't mind seeing the Cesaro winning, but I think Miz needs a long, long title run, like for real, to help him out.
I could definitely see that coming down the line. I'll go to RJ next. RJ, what was your thoughts on the match itself, and do you think this leads to Cesaro possibly getting that Intercontinental title?
I hope it does. Cesaro is back, and hopefully this is a new start for him moving forward. First, let's go back to Kevin K.O., because you brought up a good point with him and Shane, the dynamic that they had with each other. As far as the rematch clause, I say the rematch clause is dead in WWE. Most people don't even get that clause or get that rematch. Triple H should get a rematch against Roman Reigns. We probably would never see that. So it's that rematch clause in WWE has died so long ago. But the match, it was great. It was good. I didn't call it the best match of the night, but to me, it was, you know, I knew it was going to be a good one. So it was good to see those two go one-on-one against each other. I think this match was better than their SummerSlam match last year. But yeah, it was a great match.
Yeah, definitely, and I definitely agree with you. There's very valid points about the title not really being guaranteed the rematch clause. We can even go all the way back to Dean Ambrose. You know, it's just become a trend in WWE. Mark, what is your thoughts on the match itself and Cesaro going forward?
Yeah, I totally agree with RJ. The WWE title itself has had so many people drop it and not get a clean rematch or anything like that, so that's just dead and gone. Kevin, the shoe is on the other foot. The authority aren't totally in control, and they can't help your every whim any longer. So it looks like you and Sami Zayn are on a collision course, which is best for business anyway. The Cesaro match, it was great in and of itself. Cesaro is impressive, but Kevin Owens coming off the top rope with a frog splash, do what? That was pretty insane. Also, I love The Miz, but I think it's time for The Miz to drop it And him and I guess Zack Ryder will be transitional champs for Cesaro. Although I can see The Miz sticking it out for at least another month or two to get to SummerSlam with maybe Maryse helping him. But at some time, he needs to drop it to Cesaro.
Yeah, we're not even going to mention Zack Ryder on this show this week because the Zack Ryder story of saga comeback trail is over. Like, it's dead and gone. Zack Ryder will no longer be on Raw again. His father can console him, I guess, because it's done for Zack Ryder.
Time out. Zack Ryder is a top 10 greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. I'm just going to throw that out there.
In your My Universe mode on WWE 2K16?
He beat Kevin Owens. He beat Sami Zayn. He beat...
He didn't beat them. He pushed The Miz off a ladder.
He just climbed up a ladder quicker. That was it.
It's okay. He beat six other guys to get up to that ladder.
Kevin's head was stuck between another ladder.
He's okay, but the whole fact is he beat six other guys. Who can? How many people can you say can beat six other guys?
You keep saying he beat them. Like, you really believe he beat them.
He beat them, and he is now one of the greatest Intercontinental Champions of all time.
Which is why he lost the title the next night, and he lost his rematch the same way he lost the first time.
Hey, let's do what we always do. Blame creative.
Yeah, I'm going to blame creative for putting Zack Ryder in that position. Brian, I'm so sorry. Tell us about Cesaro and the Kevin Owens match and where you think Cesaro is going next.
It's all good. I was enjoying the show over here. So, first off, I need to address one thing with Kevin Owens and his segment with Shane. I don't really see where the guy has room to complain for, you know, a couple reasons. One being that, yes, he lost his title at WrestleMania. The very next night on Raw after WrestleMania, he doesn't get his rematch. Because one, Zack Ryder loses it to The Miz. And had he not lost it, he still wouldn't have got his rematch because he was in a number one contenders match for the World Heavyweight Championship. So he really has no room to complain because he left the IC title and now he has a chance for a World Heavyweight title. I don't know what his fascination is with the IC title.
I mean, he told you that he was screwed. He was screwed twice.
He wasn't screwed. I mean, he had plenty of opportunities to get up the ladder.
Neither here nor there, right?
But
I'm going to go with Kevin. I think he was screwed.
Either way, he's got some fascination with the IC title. And
that's his son's favorite toy.
That's fine. We're not here for his son.
It really doesn't matter because at the same time, this is a great opportunity to focus in on his feud with Sami Zayn for the next few months. So
That gets me to my other point. Thank you, Dan. That's a good segue into my second reason why you shouldn't complain. The grudge match between Zayn and Owens is going to be amazing. So much so that there doesn't need to be a title involved for this match to be great. And quite frankly, I think for it to be simply just a grudge match because they hate each other would mean more for the match than to say there's a piece of gold on the line because this is going to be a respect match, a pride match, where someone's going to get their ass kicked and the other's going to leave with their tail between their legs.
Okay, this is kind of like...
Kevin Owens is a prize fighter, sir. He fights for prizes.
Yeah, he actually told Sami Zayn that in his first ever NXT promo when Sami was like, no, we're going to fight because we're destined to fight. He was like, I don't fight for anything but a prize. That's crazy.
And Owens has a huge ego and a huge pride, so what better prize to fight for than those two things right there?
It doesn't matter to Kevin. He just wants to get paid. Now, maybe if they give him a big paycheck, maybe they need to make it like a $100,000 bounty match. That makes sense. Why don't we ever get those anymore? Like the money matches?
That would be interesting. It's probably so 1980s.
Or a hair match?
Yeah, well, that didn't work so well for Vince.
A beard match?
Speaking of hair, let's go to the transition for the next segment. Actually, guys, I was cringing when I saw this last week. Oh, no, not Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil crushed it this week. We just needed more of Dr. Phil. I never thought I'd say that. We didn't get enough of him. His segment backstage was Charlotte and Ric Flair. I'll start with RJ. Were you entertained as much as I was by this?
I was very entertained. I didn't think it was going to be as good as it was, but it was good. You heard the boos already starting when they saw Dr. Phil. And yet, he entertained because he was in his element as Dr. Phil on his show. And he was trying to help this father and daughter pair with whatever problems he saw that they had, but they don't see that they have problems. It was. I mean, you couldn't have written it better than what they did in that one segment. And so I was very entertained by it.
And then running Ric Flair off with the woos. That, oh my God, I was
yes. Awesome.
Now, so Brian, where do you think that they're gonna go with this? And do you think that Dr. Phil is actually gonna get through to her?
I'm actually hoping that he does. I mean it. It kind of seems silly to have him on there and him be the one to turn her, but I feel like with Nikki coming back, she's such a good heel that they need to get Charlotte back in that place of a top face so we can have that top heel and face again. And quite frankly, I just want to see Ric Flair off of TV because he's annoying as hell. But I was entertained with the segment. It was good. I was pleasantly surprised with Dr. Phil's performance.
I'm going to go back to Mark and let him get his point in again on what happened between Dr. Phil and Charlotte.
As long as Dr. Phil at least got into Charlotte's head a little bit so they don't have to use the same exact boring, pointless ending of Ric Flair coming in and cheating for her, she has to at least show a little bit of how she knows how to cheat on her own. I'll take her as a heel that way. That'll be fine. And I just think that she needs to grow up and actually win on her own.
I couldn't agree more. I'm so tired of the finishes over and over. So if Dr. Phil can do anything else, I hope he gets through with her for that. We move on next to Kevin Owens backstage, threatening Shane again, telling him that he's going to live to regret not bullying him. And that's where Shane says, I know exactly what you're going to do with Sami Zayn. That kid has earned it. You're not taking it from him. And Kevin Owens is thrown out of the building. They actually show him being let out. I was sad. There's going to be no Kevin Owens, but it's okay. And LA, don't you dare be sour. Clap for your world-famous two-time champs and feel the power. The New Day comes out to let everybody know that they're in the tag team tournament and that they are going to have the prestigious honor of facing the world tag team champions, the New Day, to whoever wins. And Mark, I'll start with you. You love the New Day, so go ahead and tell us. This segment really didn't do anything, but we were going to talk about the tag title tournament. You think it's going to revive the tag division?
I think it's a great start. I like tournaments in general, and I also like things that make matches matter, kind of like the first match of the night with Kevin Owens and Cesaro. It was a number one contendership for the Intercontinental title. I don't believe we get too many matches that actually have meaning behind them. But the tag tournament, it's a great way to set up new feuds in the tag division, to establish you kind of like your pecking order. And normally the first round is full of shenanigans and how teams tell stories to get to the second round, and maybe they cheated to win, and that will set up a feud later on down the road between whomever cheated or whomever took the high road or the low road. So it's just a great overall way to establish that your tag team division actually has a story behind it, and there's reason for these matches going forward. And also, the tournament isn't pointless because it is being sponsored by Bootios. They make sure your number one contenders ain't booty.
Does that mean that the winners are, the losers are booty?
Well, I mean, they at least were part of the tag team tournament sponsored by Bootios, which means they at least aren't booty completely.
Touché.
RJ. It depends if they, continue eating Bootios after the tournament's over, or if they just eat it while the tournament's going.
No, I'm pretty sure the Bootios ain't gonna last forever. It's a thing now. We really need a cereal, though. Like, this, I don't want a shirt in a box. I need some Bootios.
You guys do realize that if they're, first of all, I'm all down for the whole Bootios cereal, but you do realize that the whole idea of eating Bootios is actually like eating booty.
No, they make sure you're not booty.
But you're eating booty.
No, they're booty. It's like Applejack. They don't taste like apples.
Well, that's the cool thing to do nowadays, though, right?
No, I don't eat booty, so I don't know. By the way, Wrestling Goons Radio does not endorse anything that Christmas said. RJ Turner, we're going to go with you now before things get off the rail. What's your thoughts on the tag team tournament? Do you think it's going to do anything good for the tag division?
Well, I'm in agreement completely with Mark. That's because my question, you basically answered my question, Mark. Where will the tag team division go from here? Because this is cool for now, a tournament, but, what else from this? What's going to stem from this? Because I think the tag team division, you saw a little spark last year as the New Day start to come into their own, and you was like, okay, the tag team division is picking up, but then it slowed down again. And so we're back at it this year. So it's like, okay, after this tournament is over with, where do we go with our tag team division? What do we do with the ones that are not in competition for the tag team championships? Because you have a lot of great tag teams, and they're not being utilized as they should. Once again, thank you, creative. So they're not being utilized as they should. So I'm more so looking of past this tournament. Where are we going to do with the great tag teams of I can never say their name, the Valdellians. Valvillains. See, to me, I like their interest. I love that tag team. But where they're going to go from after this whole tournament is over and done with. You know what I'm saying? So that's where I'm more so looking at and kind of concerned about as far as the future of the tag team division, that it won't just be stunted by a tournament and then, that's it. And then all the people we hear about is New Day and Enzo and Cassidy, or Cass, Big Cass, yeah.
And they never won the NXT tag titles either. That's the crazy thing about that. But it's funny that you mentioned the Vaudevillains. We're recording this on a Wednesday, and it's late at night. I already watched the 18th for this week. The Vaudevillains put over Ciampa and Gargano. So you have this team that is beating your other tag teams on your main roster, but they can't beat two people that NXT threw together. And Simon Gotch, tapped out to an armbar. It was a very, very weak finish. I just don't feel like they did any favors to the Vaudevillains by putting them in that position. Brian, did you see NXT tonight? Do you feel the same way?
I did see it. It could go either way, really. You're looking, I think you're more of a pessimist than I am. I'm more of an optimist, I believe, because I'm looking at it from the standpoint that it makes Gargano and Ciampa look better. And everybody pretty much knew that when they were watching NXT that was going to be the Vaudevillains' last match, because if they watched SmackDown, they would know. I feel like it's saying something to Gargano and Ciampa. And it's a risk that you have to take to put over some people, that you may make the losing team look weak. I don't feel like it did this time, because a lot of people don't watch NXT, they watch SmackDown, and we know this. So a lot of people are seeing the Vaudevillains for the first time, and maybe they're impressed by them, and it won't matter. As far as the tournament goes, I agree with Mark. It's not pointless. I feel like the booking on some of the matches could have been better. But
yeah, we'll get into some of those matches here coming up. We got one actually in the next segment. Before that, I'll go to Dan. Dan, what's your thoughts on the tag team tournament and what it's going to do for the division?
I really don't have no thoughts really, other than this is going to be kind of funny tournament because it's sponsored by Bootios or the New Day. But the tag team division is going to be a lot better than what it was last year. I thought it was okay last year. A lot of people would disagree with me, though, but the fact that we having two new tag teams coming from NXT is going to make it better, plus the repackage of Primo and Epico, or whatever their names, or whatever they want to be called these days.
They're going to be the Colons.
The Colons? Oh, okay. Well, the sad part about it is that for some reason I feel like they're doing this tournament to take the tag team titles off the New Day, and that's going to piss me off a little bit.
I really don't think they are. I think the New Day is going to be whoever wins it, but it's going to help elevate them. That's, I would really be upset if the New Day lost to somebody in the tournament.
So y'all would, just a general consensus, y'all would all be okay with going through all of this and not have new tag titles?
Yeah.
Champions? Okay.
Yeah.
I would. Yeah, I definitely would. I mean, I think the New Day should be saved for that Enzo and Big Cass match. So I think we're going to see New Day with the tag team titles at least till they, you know, run up against Enzo and Big Cass. And I don't think Enzo and Big Cass are going to make it to the end of the tournament.
Wow. Okay. That was going to answer my question right there, because Enzo and Big Cass are in the tournament, but you don't think they're going to win the tournement. So,
I think
RJ, who do you think is going to win the tournament?
It's all about the promos. We're looking forward to the Enzo and Xavier promos.
Right. It's going to be more, and that's going to be saved for, that's a special match in and of itself. And I think that's going to be saved for a SummerSlam. So if anything, you're going to see the Dudleys interfere in Enzo and Big Cass's match, whoever they're going against. I forgot the bracket. And then they're going to interfere and cost them.
They're facing each other in the semifinals, so I think they're actually going to have that match. Like, they're going to get that far. I don't understand why they're in the semifinal. I feel like that would be a finals match. I tell you this, if the New Day does lose their titles, it should be the Dudley Boys. The Dudley Boys deserve one last run. They should get one. They haven't. So if anybody in this tournament were to win it, I feel like the Dudley Boys should win it.
No.
Why?
Because the Dudley Boys shouldn't get no last run at all. They should just help younger talent, you know, elevate them or whatnot.
They're the greatest tag team of all time.
The Dudleys didn't do that by putting over the New Day during their first feud or the Usos in their just previous feud?
The Dudley Boys shouldn't touch the titles at all. Not, you know what? In logic, theory, or whatever, technically, fine. Maybe they should get the titles because the New Age Outlaws in their little last run, I think they had the titles, right?
Yeah, we try to forget about that. And thank God for the Rhodes Brothers that took it off us.
Enzo and Cass can take it off the Dudleys.
Exactly.
I just don't see that happening. I don't see the Dudleys getting another title run with the tag team title. I just don't see it. Right now, I'm looking at Enzo and Big Cass versus New Day. That's money in there. I think that's going to be saved for SummerSlam.
It might be money, but I think that the WWE has accepted the fact that they have a face dynamic with the New Day. And the only way they're going to counter that is to have the heel Dudleys. And everybody can say, well, we've seen that already. No, you saw the face Dudleys and the heel New Day. When you swap roles, I think it could work out very, very well.
And you know what kind of match it needs to be, right?
A tables match.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We'll finally get our tables match.
Why not have the Usos take it off of them then? Because everyone loves it.
We'll get to the Usos in a while. I have a feeling they're not even going to be in their next round match. I think they were taken out.
Because the Usos got booed by putting the Dudleys through the tables.
Yeah, how does that
happen? You're going to get creamed by New Day's booze.
So we're going to move on to that match, actually, which was the Dudleys in their first round match with the Lucha Dragons. This was an awkward finish, guys. I don't know if you call it or not. But once they hit the 3D, Devon went for the cover, and the referee's like, no, actually, you're not the legal man. And Bubba actually had to go cover him for the 3 count, so the referee wasn't going to let him get away with that illegal pin. I just thought it was funny that the guy had to lay there an extra, like, 5 seconds. Kalisto, and that's where I want to go with this, not so much that the Dudleys won. What do they do when the U.S. champion constantly losing? I'll go with Braun first.
Tarnishing the belt? I mean, they're pretty much... I don't know if it's they don't know who to put it on after Kalisto or who did Kalisto to drop it to, but the last pay-per-views that they've had, the U.S. title has been defended on the pre-show. Now, back when John Cena had the title, was there any point in time where John Cena defended the title on the pre-show?
No, John Cena never defended the title on the pre-show.
He's John Cena. I mean, come on. That's,
okay,
I mean,
but it's the same title that John Cena's held.
Exactly.
It's like they don't give a crap who they give it to.
As long as it's not John Cena, it doesn't matter. That's what they're saying.
Basically, I mean, they don't. They're like, okay, we'll give him a shot. Here's Kalisto versus ADR. He beats ADR. All right, now what do we do? Nothing. Momentum's gone. We'll just put him on the pre-show. People will forget that he's the champion. And they do.
Enzo and Cass didn't come out and cut a promo before the match. Do you want to talk about that at all? Were you entertained?
Absolutely. I'm always entertained when it comes to Enzo and Big Cass. I mean, like I said, I guess you can already see that there's going to be a feud between Enzo and Big Cass and the Dudley Boys, not just in the tournament, but maybe the next couple of months. And like we mentioned before, we're just waiting for that great tag team promo face-off between them and the New Day.
Well, you don't think that Bubba Ray is going to be able to hold his own in a promo war?
And Bubba is great. Especially when he was Bully Ray, he was at his best then.
Yeah.
But Enzo has some comebacks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it makes Bubba laugh. Bubba will be cracking up while he's saying it about him.
But also, Kalisto didn't actually lose that match. He was injured the entire time, which kind of makes the referee spot at the very end seem even more awkward since Kalisto was the person that was in the match and when they kind of stopped it and then Sin Cara rolled in.
Yeah, Charles Robinson, they didn't watch it, so apparently. RJ, what's your thoughts on Enzo and Cass and then this match here, tag match between the Dudleys and Lucha Dragons?
This is almost funny because this is probably the second week in a row that a Dudleys match finishes kind of ends awkwardly. I don't know what's going on between the Dudleys, the referees, the timekeeper, whoever. It's been awkward for the past 2 weeks. The match... it wasn't memorable. It is what it is with that match. Kalisto, I don't know why he has that title. I don't think he should have that title. And I believe that they should have kept what John Cena started going on from that point when he lost it to now. And they just kind of lost that momentum when he had the U.S. title. He brought up the standard of what the U.S. title or how the U.S. title should be defended. And somehow the momentum was lost from when he lost that title to now. I'll be honest,
I thought it was actually the very night he lost it, and it was the way he lost it. It would have made Del Rio look a lot better had the kick just not came out of nowhere and we got a 3 count. Really, really caught me off guard.
Right. It was just rushed on Del Rio, like just from John Cena. He comes in and of course it was great to see him, but it was kind of just rushed and we just gave not John Cena, but we gave Del Rio the title and that was it. And it just went down from there.
Dan, you got something you want to add?
Yeah. I'm okay with Kalisto being the U.S. champion because it's a great feel for a little guy to be the champion. And plus maybe, you know, they might try to get more Mexican or Hispanic viewers or something. Who knows? I'm serious, for real. I mean, come on.
Says the man who thinks that Zack Ryder was the greatest IC champion ever.
Top 10.
Exactly.
But, I mean, I would like to see Kalisto and maybe just throw a name out there, Tyler Breeze feud for the title.
Baron Corbin. I mean, Apollo Crews.
I mean, you're naming a whole bunch of jobbers overall right now. So.
Victor.
You're naming a whole bunch of jobbers overall right now. Anybody who hasn't got a win in the last 8 months, please come on and try yourself. Jeez.
Anybody in that bunch. But let me say this. I mean, like I said, Enzo, I think just Enzo is just, like, this guy is awesome on the mic. I really don't even have to hear Big Cass say anything, because Enzo, he kills it by himself. I would look at Enzo as more of a, and I don't know if you all would agree with me, but I would call him like the Paul Heyman to Brock Lesnar, or Enzo is the, you know, what Paul Heyman is to Brock Lesnar with Big Cass. So it's like Enzo could just be on the mic. He doesn't have to wrestle to me. Just keep him on the mic and he's entertaining in of himself. He's precise with what he says, and his Italian lingo is just, it's cool. Like, how you doing? I can't even do it, but it's awesome to hear this man talk. So I just can hear him talk all day. He's perfect on the mic, honestly.
You know why you can't do it?
Why?
Salt. All right, we're going to move on now to everybody's favorite controversial segment of the week. Roman Reigns time. He comes out, tells LA that he has something to tell him, and he's welcomed by crescendo and boos. He repeats the same saying. I think we can all say it now word for word. I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a good guy. I'm the guy. I liked it at first, but it's starting to become really redundant. I don't think I like it as facial expressions. They've gotten a lot better. He says that AJ and Sami Zayn are going to fight tonight, and if Zayn's able to win, it'll be a triple threat. But neither one of them have beat him, so it doesn't really matter. And that's when the League of Nations come out, and it's really weird because it feels like we're about to get a beatdown of Roman. That's when the Wyatt come out, and later on in the night, folks, the main event, League of Nations are going to fight Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns, currently because Shane McMahon wants to see it. I'll go with Mark first. Mark, what was your thoughts on Roman, how he handled the crowd this week, and the interesting concept of Bray Wyatt teaming with him?
Okay, so he's getting a little bit better, but I can still tell that at least that one line, they have him saying it every week. I don't know whether or not it's so he believes it or what, but yeah, they need to at least write it to where that promo's not seem so forced, and maybe put it during the middle of a promo, maybe actually work it into talking back and forth with the crowd, get them to boo you, say something to get them to boo you really loudly, and then do that spill. It doesn't have to come at the very beginning when you first get in there and you sound like Randy Orton face promo that's just robotic as crap. Secondly, the Wyatt family coming in and saving him, great twist, liked it. I like Shane just coming in and just playing his power, but he sees something that the crowd's interested in. He seems excited to see it, which kind of makes us seem excited to see it. Like, if you have an authority figure or a boss in anything, if they're excited for something, it kind of makes everyone else want to be excited for that, which is great for the product.
Yeah, I completely agree. Dan, what is your thoughts on how Roman handled this crowd and where they're going from here with him?
So, Roman Reigns as a tweener is awesome. I don't want him to go full heel. Not just yet. That whole, I'm not a good guy, I'm not a bad guy, I'm the guy, that needs to be on a t-shirt somewhere. I guarantee you it's going to sell fast.
It's going to be. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's just cool. His promos are just what it is, his promos. And, I mean, he's changing up his, like Mark mentioned, his, I think you or Mark mentioned about his facial expression and, you know, the placement of how he begins his promos. I mean, that's okay. I mean, what can you do with the guy that's getting booed and he's supposed to be your top face in the company? You just go out there and stick it to the, you know, the fans and be sarcastic with them.
RJ, I know you're not the biggest Roman Reigns fan. You're probably his biggest detractor. Are you actually seeing any progress in what he's doing? And what was your thoughts on him and Bray Wyatt's dynamic together later on in the night?
I'm going to try to be objective here. So I'm going to say this. Everybody has a catchphrase. So it's normal for him to use that as his catchphrase. It worked last week. I mean, I will be more irritated because it's just Roman Reigns and he's saying it and he's talking, period. So I think it works for him. I saw it happen last week and I thought it was a pretty good segment for him. As far as the Bray coming out, I think that's the that's what I think me as a wrestling fan, that's what I look for, the unpredictable things happening on the show, nothing that you expect to happen, you know, because you may expect someone that's the Usos or Dean Ambrose to come out, but to have the Wyatts come out, it was something new and it was that twist that I think I've been looking for as a fan. So I mean, it served its purpose, and I like the direction somewhat that they're going with the Wyatts. I really don't want them to turn the Wyatts face. I really do not, but it's working for them. It could work. So I'm holding out hope that this is a new direction, you know, for Bray and the Wyatt family. So it was a good segment altogether.
Brian, you're actually not as hard on Roman usually as some others. What was your thoughts on where they're going with it and his dynamic with Bray Wyatt?
Well, first off, RJ knows probably better than anybody here that I'm at one point was like a huge, you know, detractor of Roman Reigns. I'm still not a big fan of his. As far as his character, it's boring. It's starting to come into its own. I will agree with you on his facial expressions. He's gone away from looking like he's trying to take a really hard deuce. But as far as putting him with Bray Wyatt, I actually thought that was pretty refreshing. It's probably the one time so far that I can remember where they've taken a storyline with two people and actually kept it going. There's some consistency with the story there because they have so much history with each other. And they're probably the two least likely people that you would see put together on a team and actually working really well together. And again, that has to a lot to do with their history going back to the Shield and the Wyatt family feud.
That goes all the way back to FCW. I mean, these guys are best friends. They were brought up together, so.
Right, and it shows. Their chemistry together in the ring is amazing. And that spot at the end, I just can't get over.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people in the goons were not popping for it. I was like, how could you not like that spot? Brent told him to go spear him. He saw Sheamus. And you just normally don't think things flow like that. It was really nice.
So to see enemies like that just sync so well together, that was a really good spot. It's actually the background of my page now.
Nice.
It's like saying, oh, hey, Roman, hey, spear that guy right there. Oh, you see me? I just made you do what I want you to do. Now you're going to join my family.
No, he's not going to join his family. That's not where they're going with it.
Hey. This will be a hell of a feud going forward.
We've seen this feud like in the summertime, so
this is what they're building for. Like, we're gonna get Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns. That is, you know, according to Bray's okay. We're all hoping that's rumors are going around that he's hurt, so we're gonna have to see how serious it is.
We wish Husky Harris well.
Don't call him that on this show. All right.
If you're going to say that, at least use his real name, damn it.
Wyndham Rotunda. Get it right. All right. RJ, is there anything you want to add on Roman before we move on here?
No. That, like I said, that ending, I didn't get my DVR stopped, so I didn't get to see the ending of that match. I think I seen just people posting clips of it online. But that ending, that finish was awesome. The way he just told Reigns to, you know, spear him. I'm like, this is awesome. We're seeing somebody actually teach Reigns how to wrestle in the ring. I just had to throw that in there because I don't like Reigns. I'm sorry. I just had to throw that in there. I'm sorry.
That was it great.
I just had to. Okay, that's it.
So we're going to move on to when you get Dr. Phil coming down to ringside for the big match between the Heart and the Flair, Natalya and Charlotte. And guys, to no surprise to any of us, Charlotte won by DQ, thanks to her father. We've seen this 1,000 times. I don't really want to spend much time on this, so keep your answers brief, and we'll go to Mark first.
Same finish. Poor Natty. And I've heard rumors and kind of speculation that this match will go on at least for 2 more months. And the only way I see it going on for 2 more months is if we get a couple more dirty finishes until finally Charlotte beats her one-on-one, which will lead into Sasha Banks versus Charlotte going forward into SummerSlam.
Brian, what are your thoughts on this repeated finish that they keep doing?
Well, first off, no offense to Natalya, but I can't stand watching her wrestle. Her acting is horrible.
Oh, and Natalya, you're great. I can't believe you said that.
It's terrible.
Okay, acting or wrestling? Because in that squared circle, she's pretty damn good.
I have to watch her act in order to watch her wrestle, sir. And by far, her acting is one of the worst on the roster. And I'm sorry. I don't mean that to be disrespectful. It's just my opinion.
And are you forgetting the farting gimmick from 3 years ago, huh?
No. Just shutting that out along with, you know, Mae Young giving birth to a hand. But I digress. The other aspect of the match that I didn't like was the dirty finish. But it's how they did it, because it made no sense. I can't recall a match that I've seen end in a DQ where the referee was pulled out of the ring and that was the cause for a disqualification. You did not touch the other wrestler. So
don't
how
they normally just kick that person out of the match and then the match continues?
Yeah, that's what I would think. And not only that, the referee is still in position to see Charlotte happen. Like, I don't care if you pull it out, you can still see it.
Exactly. And of course you're going to think that they're saying Natalya won, because he's doing it right as Charlotte's tapping out. I mean, the whole finish was dumb.
RJ, do you have any thoughts to add on this repeated finish that they keep doing?
You all are going to disagree with me, but I think this was the best match of the night. Besides the dirty finish, I think this was the best match of the night. The intensity these two had inside that ring and the way they pulled the crowd in, I consider this the best match of the night. I cannot wait to pay back to see them go at it again.
Are you feeling okay?
Between the two. It was. You didn't see the beginning. I mean, from bell to bell, it was awesome. That match, I don't know. I mean, I know KO and Cesaro was a great match, but you expected that. I guess it's because this match was unexpected as far as me being interested in it. It pulled me in, and I was entertained fully. I thought this literally was the best match of the night, and I will stand by that.
I you know what, RJ? I'm going to say that the match itself, until the finish, I couldn't disagree with you. I agree with you more. I don't know if it was the best match of the night, but I was entertained from bell to bell until that finish. Like, I know why they do that finish. It's been used so many times. It makes Natalya look bad that she keeps falling for things like this, in my opinion. Dan, what is your thoughts on what they're doing with Charlotte?
All right, so the match was decent, of course, except for the ending. I enjoyed the fact that how Charlotte was getting inside of Natty's head with the slaps when she was putting her in the figure four. Here's my thing with this whole dirty finish and everything. We now have a women's division. We now have a new women's belt. We're referring to them as superstars or whatever the case may be. We need to like have them be put in gimmick matches, like a cage match. Whoever is involved in a match with Charlotte for the title, let it be in a cage where there's no interference from Ric Flair. Possibly.
Because Ric Flair can't get inside of a cage. That would be crazy.
Or a no DQ match. But I agree totally with Dan on this. Eventually, during this feud, something needs to be a gimmick to where Ric Flair is neutralized.
You don't think that's what they're leaning to?
It has to be something like, you know, of course people don't want to see, oh, they're going to get bloody and bruised and everything. Let's respect them as equal competitors as the men. No, they're not the men, though, and no, it doesn't necessarily have to be all bloody and bruised or whatever.
Yeah, you suggesting they get color?
No, I'm just saying that just, you know, put them in a cage and fight it out.
That's neither here nor there. Speaking of rabid invasions, the next thing we had was the Usos in their match. It doesn't even matter who they fought. They fought the Social Outcasts, but they're not important. The win that they had wasn't important. What was important was Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows. I'm going to call them the Bullet Club until they tell me otherwise. That's what the crowd was chanting. They have arrived. They jumped the barrier in NWO style. Take out the Usos after the Usos had won, which leads me to believe that they're going to take the Usos' spot in this tournament. That's my personal opinion. But we're going to go to mark out moments first, and we'll start with Mark. What was your thoughts when you saw Anderson and Gallows finally in WWE?
Honestly, my first thoughts were, dang, this could lead into the Bullet Club versus the Usos, and it just so happens that AJ Styles is going up against Roman Reigns. Which then got me thinking that they're probably going to end up swerving us somehow in this. And where's Doc Gallows' face paint? Is he saving that for maybe when a demon comes around?
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing. Like, they should have at least had something in here. They made him look like outsiders, though, which I felt like it was a pretty good way to bring them in. Brian, are you impressed with how they debuted?
I'm impressed in the sense that I'm glad they're finally here. It's not the debut I was probably picturing in my head, but it does have the shades of the outsiders back in the day. So that part kind of intrigued me because it took me back to when wrestling really got interesting again when I was a kid. So I enjoyed that. I agree with Mark. It's weird seeing Doc Gallows without the face paint. And it may be one of those things like he alluded to that he only brings out on special occasions, I guess, like when the demon comes around. But only time will tell. I know that you have your theories, Anthony, about the Usos not being in the tournament, but I'm thinking it's just going to be one of those things where they just keep causing people to, I would hope, to lose the tournament. And that would, you know, start up some feuds for when the tournament's over, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think Mark agreed with you as well, so I'm kind of in the minority on that. Dan, were you excited that the Bullet Club has finally arrived on Monday Night Raw?
Not really. I mean, I was like, I guess I was caught off guard because I guess I was expecting it last week and to be excited for last week, but this week it was like, oh, these guys came in there like NWO style or whatever, which I hope they, you know, don't go that route anymore, because I would hate for the whole comparison between them and the outsiders and all that crap. But then I mean,
let's face it.
You're talking about the group that Too Sweet people.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, you know, when WWE tries to do something in their own sort of version, it just doesn't go well, and at least in my opinion. But then when I seen,
I don't know if y'all caught this or not, but they didn't Too Sweet each other, but Doc and Carl do put up gun signs and toast each other. Now, looks like they're maybe going a gun route, but it may not be called the Bullet Club.
Someone else threw up a gun sign that night, too.
They did, didn't they?
Maybe.
Yes, they did, sir.
Maybe we'll see the Festus Club.
All right, we're not even going to acknowledge that you said that.
Festus is bestus.
No, God,
or,
no.
Or, hey, all we need is Serena and CM Punk.
You guys, me and Mark know his wife personally. Don't make us get Doc on this show. Internet real, for real.
Please get Doc on the show. I'm sure our listeners would appreciate that very much.
They would.
And get Doc and Amber both on here.
I need Amber, yes. RJ, what was your thoughts on the Bullet Club finally debuting on Raw?
You know what? In pro wrestling, we know storylines are recycled. So the whole NWO feel, to me, it was awesome. Actually, my creative juices started to run as I saw them coming out. It was like, okay, this is nostalgic to a certain degree. So I'm thinking that we all expect them to come and maybe team up with AJ Styles or maybe team up with Finn Balor. But I see them interfering actually in the Roman Reigns versus AJ Styles match and beating both of them up. And then hopefully we potentially see them come in through the crowd like the outsiders did, maybe sit, you know, get front row seats with some popcorn. And, you know, I'm looking forward to that because I think that's reinventing to a certain degree that storyline, but more so WWE style. So I'm excited about it. And hopefully, hey, you never know. Come SummerSlam, we may get John Cena versus Roman Reigns or some type of six-man match, and John Cena comes out, and as you know, bam, Anderson, Gallo, and John Cena. That's just my creative juices running, but hey, you know, we never know. But I'm looking forward to this whole new NWO style with them, and hopefully it goes somewhere.
My personal opinion was going to be, actually, everybody assumes that AJ Styles is in cahoots with them, and I would actually have them come out, surround the ring, and act like they're helping AJ, and then meet AJ down, and too sweet Roman Reigns. I feel like if you're gonna make a third man, it needs to be somebody impactful, and Roman is that guy. I don't know. That's just my opinion.
I was gonna say one thing. It has to lead up to somewhere with Finn Balor because of the whole Instagram and social media, you know, him waiting for them. And two, just a random thing. What are the chances that WWE can have their version of Aces of Eight? I mean, we have like
there's
four
not
games.
A chance. So
okay.
But that's the expected. That's the thing. That's the expected for them to team up with AJ Styles. That's the expected for them to team up with Finn Balor. So if they're expecting us to see that, they're probably going to go a different direction then. So that's why I say we're not going to see them team up with the people that we expected them to team up with. Somebody different.
Well, here's my theory. Just because, and I know that Mark doesn't agree with this because WWE doesn't acknowledge other companies. Anthony, we know this, right?
Unless you're New Japan Pro Wrestling, because they're allowed to do that now, apparently. So.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then we know that the last time AJ Styles and Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson were around, they were beating the crap out of AJ Styles and kicking him out of the Bullet Club. Now, I know it's two different organizations, but it's history that they have, regardless. Really wouldn't make sense for them to team up.
I mean, they didn't ignore Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn's history, so I don't see why they would ignore that either.
But it
That's
brings
why
some
Finn Balor is going to be their leader, and it's going to be Balor Club or Bulletproof.
I did notice that AJ tweet when they said, who's going to be the leader of the Bullet Club? AJ tweeted out that I was never the leader of the Bullet Club. So
yeah, my mind was pretty blown on that one.
Yeah, I was like, wait.
So what if, in theory, that we get a Finn Balor as the leader, and we do get Roman Reigns, and we also get Samoa Joe joining the Bullet Club.
No, you see, you wouldn't do that, because what would happen is Roman isn't going to be under somebody, and Finn's not going to be under somebody. Well, what would happen is, I've always said from day one, you take Samoa Joe and you put him with Roman Reigns, you put the Usos with him, you got a faction right there that builds itself.
You have the nation of Samoan domination or whatever, but I don't know. It's kind of weird to have Roman Reigns lead a whole new stable, and no one even likes him by himself. So who's gonna like him with a whole new stable? That's not the Shield.
But that's the point. I mean, he wouldn't be the face Roman Reigns, he would be the heel. So regardless, he would get boos, and it would work in his favor because he's a heel. I don't think they're going to ever turn him heel. So, I mean, that's just me. I think they're going down the John Cena route with him. But it would make sense if he did have another faction other than the Shield. And I wouldn't know what they would call them, but hey, it would be cool to see that happen if it was to happen with him or John Cena. It has to be a big name person. I just don't see the expected Finn Balor or the expected AJ Styles being that third man.
I'll be okay with John Cena being that third guy.
Yeah, I would too, but we're just gonna see how they go with that. We're gonna move on. A backstage segment that they had with Maurice and The Miz. It was pretty good where The Miz was entertaining. Maurice was cussing out a bunch of people for not doing The Miz the proper way that he deserves. Cesaro interrupts and says that he's going to take the leading role of the Intercontinental title. Briefly, we just need to go ahead and do this quickly. Mark, do you think that Cesaro helped sell this match at all?
He actually showed that he had a little bit of personality, and he came up with some pretty good little one-liners and stuff. So, I mean,
I think he's doing what Vince, quote unquote, didn't think that he could do and actually get over with the audience.
Do you agree, Dan?
Absolutely.
Brian?
I concur.
We all concur. RJ, from the suite.
I concur also. I agree.
All right, we are all in agreement that Cesaro helped elevate that feud somewhat. We're going to move on now to what it looks like. Yes, it is. We are at AJ Styles and Sami Zayn. I know y'all were talking about Match of the Nights earlier. I don't know how you didn't nominate this one. This is the Match of the Night. It was phenomenal, pun intended. AJ Styles, Sami Zayn comes up short, and AJ is the winner. Were you entertained by this match, RJ?
Very much so. I mean, once again, it was expected that these two was going to put on a match. Like, it's like those type of matches that you just know that you're going to get the best out of these two. So it was bound to be one of the best matches of the night. I guess that's why I went with Natalie and what's her name, Charlotte, because it was unexpected. And so this match, it served its purpose. It went over and beyond to serve, you know, the fans and entertain. So I was happy with it. I enjoyed it.
Dan, were you as impressed as we were with this match?
Not really. I mean, I didn't care really one way or another, because I'm just being honest, because I'm still giving the fact that AJ just walked right into the company and he has the number one contendership spot. So
he's AJ Styles.
He won a match for that.
He shouldn't even be put in that position.
Wow.
I'm sorry. You just shouldn't.
Who would you put in the match?
Thank you for joining us tonight, Dan. We're going to have to let you know.
Dan, tell me who he's taking a spot from.
Oh, man. I would have liked for Chris Jericho to have won last week.
Not Zack Ryder?
Zack Ryder? No.
You wanted to see Chris Jericho and Roman Reigns.
Yeah, because actually, first of all, here's the thing. Roman Reigns is not going to lose the title anytime soon, because you'll be having him lose for the third time, and that means he'll be going for his fourth title again if he wins it back this year, and he'll be on pace to beat Ric Flair's record. So with all that being said, I wouldn't mind for Chris Jericho to have won. It would have been a great feud. Whoever you put in front of Chris Jericho is going to always be awesome. So that's just my take on it. Sami Zayn, again, he just waltzed right in. Well, no, I can't even say that, because he's been there, but he's like been on the main roster for like, what, 2 months now?
Yeah, I don't know. So Sami Zayn was there for the last 6 months. You're forgetting the John Cena thing.
Yeah, but the thing is that, you know, too many guys are getting too many pushes already, and they have.
Wait, now hold on. We spent the last 10 years talking about guys not getting pushes. So now we're getting too many pushes?
Yeah.
Wow.
Especially AJ and Sammy.
Brian, will you please tell Dan why he's wrong?
There's all kinds of reasons why he's wrong. I mean, AJ Styles is a veteran of this what he does of wrestling. He's a veteran. If anybody deserves to have the shot, it's him. And I get what you're saying, that he just comes right into the company, but he's not a nobody that just they threw into the title scene like Roman Reigns. I mean, it's AJ Styles. I mean, I don't understand. It's hard for me to put into words, Anthony. It really is. I mean,
you watch TNA, right? Like,
yeah,
throughout the years. Or
look, I know who AJ Styles is. I understand that, but here's my thing. You're an established company. Get your guys that's been with you for a while a little push, and then, you know, work your way to the other guys or whatnot. That's just my.
We can get into all the companies
that AJ Styles has been in, he's been one of the main reasons why that company has been watchable. He's the main reason TNA has been watchable for as long as they have been.
RJ, we're going to wrap up with you. What is your thoughts on how AJ deserve this spot?
I'm going to have to agree with Daniel to a certain degree. And the reason I say I'm going to have to agree with him is because I don't want AJ to have to lay down to Roman this soon in his title run, as far as Roman's title run. I think AJ should have been saved for later. AJ is a big name, and he shouldn't have to be the first casualty of the Roman Empire. So that's the only reason I disagree with the whole AJ being in this match, because it's so predictable. We know that he's not winning. And when you have a big name like AJ Styles, I need to have that sense that he may have a chance to win, and not that he's not going to win, because come on, Roman's not going to lose the title right off of, you know, his WrestleMania momentum. So to me, that's the only reason I kind of agree with Daniel here. But other than that, it's AJ Styles. It's freaking AJ Styles. Like, of course, he deserves to be in the main event. I mean, he's AJ Styles. Simple.
Mark, you're going to be the final vote here. And I guess I'll go ahead and say, on top of that, do you agree that AJ should have beat Sammy here? Shouldn't have been a triple threat match.
Okay, first and foremost, I completely think that AJ Styles should have won the match. Sammy goes to his feud. AJ goes to his. Dan, you're missing the boat on thinking that Roman Reigns is going to beat Ric Flair's record, because that record will already have been given to John Cena by the time that Roman Reigns, yes, they're going to breed him to beat John Cena's WWE Championship reign. So yes, I do see that he's probably going to drop in a few months and then get it right back again until he drops it again at Mania. You're going to see him with the title for a lot of title reigns. You can already count that. AJ has already been in the business 10 years. We see that the shelf life of those people aren't the longest, i.e. let's look at Daniel Bryan's career or CM Punk's career. They worked the indies. They made a name for themselves. Now they're in the WWE. They bring maybe one, maybe two more eyes, maybe a couple hundred more eyes to your product. Yeah, put them in the main event. You're not going to get like a 12 or 15 year John Cena or Roman Reigns career out of them in the WWE. So you need to utilize the time that they're in here now.
When you get the highlight reel coming up next with Chris Jericho, who had the guest that is so phenomenal that he can't tell us who it is. It wasn't me or Chris Jericho. He's going to interview himself. I was very entertained by this segment. And then we find out that the highlight reel was over for good. It has been replaced by the Ambrose Asylum. Real quickly, we'll go with RJ first. Were you entertained by this segment? And do you think Dean Ambrose Asylum is going to be a permanent thing?
I don't think it's going to be a permanent thing. It's just to start up the feud between Jericho and Dean. And, I mean, before Dean came out, I was actually kind of bored with Jericho. I mean, he's great on the mic, but I'm over him at this point. I guess I'm still a little bit salty that AJ lost to him. So I kind of just over Chris Jericho. He keeps, you know, nagging at the IWC, so it makes me even more over him. So, yeah, Dean was great, but Chris, meow.
Man, that's actually what won me over. I love when they take shots at us. Mark, do you agree with RJ, or do you think it worked?
I like the fact that Y2J can reinvent himself into a different role every single damn time. He really is the best in the world at what he does. He just has this ability to totally redo his character and just add little nuances and twists and turns with it. And I do believe that the Ambrose Asylum will eventually be a full-time gig for Dean Ambrose. I mean, they need someone to carry kind of that quote-unquote torch of having a show like that. I mean, they've done one throughout the years, and the Ambrose Asylum works. It has a nice ring to it. And there's already a poll on WWE.com where you can vote on who you want to see next.
Yep, there is. So go ahead and get your vote in there. Brian, what was your thoughts on this segment and the Ambrose Asylum?
So the Ambrose Asylum is going to be like the new Piper's Pit now?
Apparently. I mean, that's what all these talk shows are, right?
I mean, that's fine with me. It could work. It could give them airtime and, you know, get him some new feuds. He is pretty entertaining on the mic. As far as Jericho, I'm going to agree slightly with RJ. He's entertaining to me on the mic, but But as far as putting himself in these feuds or having himself in these feuds, I'm not entertained by those. It's not something that I look forward to watching. So when I find out he's going to be in the match, I really don't care. And that's not to take away from Jericho. I think this is where Dan was thinking about AJ Styles. I feel like there's someone you could put in Jericho's place right now that could make the storyline better for Ambrose.
I'm just actually glad they're addressing that thing from 9 months ago. Like, we're finally going to get closure on why Jericho walked down on Ambrose and Reigns. Mark, you got something you want to add real quick before I go to Dan?
I'm just sitting here thinking that Jericho comes back all the time, and we know that he's going to job, and we know he's going to job, and he always puts over younger talent. But a veteran, like we all know that AJ Styles is, just has a legitimate feud with him, and Jericho just so happens to win, and everyone loses their mind.
Yeah, I don't know if that's just because he has lost so much that they're upset, and somebody that loses so much meat, this phenomenal guy. I get that concept, but I also, like, looking back at the long-term booking, I also don't think they're done with it. I think we're going to have more AJ and Y2J in the future, so I don't expect Y2J to always have the one-up on that one. We're going to move on to the main event, which is the League of Nations versus Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt. We've already put over the finish earlier, so I'll just go ahead and get into everybody's thoughts on the match. We all like the dynamic of them together, pretty much, even though it was weird. Do you think it had, did the match serve its purpose? I'll go to Brian first.
I feel like the match served its purpose. It put Bray back in the title scene, so to speak. It put him on the same team as the champion. It's getting him the spotlight and continuing the feud with the Wyatt family and the League of Nations. It was an interesting dynamic. I felt like it was strange to put them together, and that's probably why it worked so well. It's in terms of the feud with Roman and Bray, I think it does a lot for setting that up again and rekindling the fire with their feud. But hoping that Bray is not seriously injured so we can see where this was supposed to go and how it's supposed to turn out.
I completely agree with that. Like I said, we really want Bray Wyatt to be fine. Everybody except Dan, probably, who is just tired of Bray Wyatt. This was a... Blackjack Mulligan, as we said, passed away. This show was kind of dedicated to him. And I felt like it was poetic justice that Bray Wyatt was the star of the night. And he really was. He won the crown over with that promo before the match against Roman. That was such a great promo. I know a lot of people don't get Bray Wyatt when he talks. But with him telling Roman that we're always going to be tied together, no matter what, friend or foe, like that, it just really hit home to me. I was like, wow, that's really how you deliver a promo.
Like Bray's character really felt comfortable that night. It felt like it made sense.
Yeah, and anybody who says Bray Wyatt can't work in the face, let this Monday night prove you wrong, because he can. Dan, I know you're not the biggest Bray Wyatt believer, so you obviously probably weren't as entertained as we were.
I was more entertained by Sheamus than I was by Bray. No, but seriously though, it was cool. I guess you could say this is the official crowning of or coming out of Bray Wyatt being a face. It sucks that he's injured now. Hopefully he's not going to be gone for too long, but if he is, why not take the time and repackage him?
Never, you know.
We could see a IRS Jr.
No. Vince McMahon, please don't listen to this. Please.
I mean, something's got to happen. I mean, and then while he's gone, you have Luke Harper who's gone. He's going to probably be gone. No telling how long he is. So you're going to have Eric Rowan and Braun Strowman.
And that's one hell of a team.
A team, but first of all, Braun Strowman is garbage. He's booty.
No,
okay?
He's not. No, he's so good for a big man.
He's booty. I feel sorry for Rowan because sometimes he can get lost in the shuffle. But you might as well almost kind of say you might as well just break up the Wyatt family for now.
Just stop. You've been saying that for how long now?
And they need to. Like, seriously. Okay, let's say Bray becomes a face, becomes a champion. What do you do with the rest of the guys?
He's not ever going to be a champion. He doesn't want titles.
He's going to have a title.
No, he doesn't.
Okay, even if you do, you saw Monday what they will do. If someone tries to come in and interfere in his match, they stop them. If someone's going to try to cheat to beat Bray, then they're going to stop them. This Monday was the first time you've actually seen them as a face save a disqualification or some outside interference and not cause it.
Yeah, I thought it was good dynamic. RJ, what was your thoughts on it?
Once again, we talked about it earlier, so it was a great match. I think his promo was the best part to me. Like, I mean, that's Bray Wyatt at his best. It was short to the point, but it was Bray Wyatt at his best. This is why I love Bray Wyatt. He's gold. He said it himself, I believe, in the interview that WWE doesn't know what to do with him because they really don't. Even if they turn him face, where does he go from here?
Yeah, he said it's gotten to the point where Bray Wyatt doesn't even know what to do with Bray Wyatt. Like, he's
right.
I have an idea. Like, since
Bray... No, your ideas are...
Check this out. Saying that Bray is going to be out for a while and Luke is out, why not call Braun and Rowan the sheeples since they're the black and white?
Wow.
That was actually pretty creative, Dan. Oh, my.
Wow.
Okay. Because when Bray is injured, Bray doesn't stay off TV because they know where Bray is gold is on in his mouth. So that sounded really awkward. But
he has a calf injury, so he's just gonna be sitting in Sister Abigail's rocking chair.
Why not?
What did he do with his back injury? Oh, that's right. He still sat there and cut promos and fed Luke Harper the Beast Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, he had a match that he didn't wrestle in. Oh, final thoughts on the night. We're gonna go to the best and worst match of the night. And give us a grade, and we're going to start with Dan Tanner.
All right, so the best match of the night was the Cesaro and Kevin Owens match. Like I said, it was awesome throughout. I'm happy that Cesaro gets that opportunity. Worst match of the night, man. I have to say that, there was a lot of them. Well, I wouldn't say a lot of them. I don't know, but... My final thoughts, period, is I want to touch on Apollo Crews. Like, Apollo Crews is a great athlete. He's phenomenal and everything. The only thing that bothers me with Apollo Crews is that he doesn't have a real gimmick or a real character. It's like I'm lost with him, so I don't know who he is really. And maybe over time that will develop. I don't know.
I think he's got to find who he is, to be honest with you. I don't think he knows yet either.
But it makes me think that if he has to find who he is, then maybe he was called up a little too soon.
He's only been wrestling for a year and a half, and he made his own name. Like, he's got star written all over him.
Yeah, he does, though, but I just need to know who he is, though, like, as far as character-wise. But overall...
He's a happy kid from Nigeria. That is what he is. He's just a happy kid to be... in America, doing what he loves to do.
He needs to go back to NXT and restart over again.
Swear to God, I thought you were going to say go back to Nigeria, and I was going to tell you to take my aid with you.
I'm going to grade Raw a B+.
B+. All right, Rob, well, this show goes totally off the rail. It was your best and worst match of the night, you agree?
Worst match of the night would be the Natalya versus Charlotte match, simply for the acting and the ending. They were both horrible. Best match of the night was Sami Zayn versus AJ Styles. That match was beautiful, in my opinion, and I don't care how that sounds. It was a great match.
No, I'm comfortable with my man had to say it was beautiful.
It was beautiful, and I dare say I'm ashamed of the fans that they didn't give a please fight forever chant like we did in Dallas to Nakamura and Zayn.
The crowd was really not as hyped as I would hope they would be tonight. They really let the ball in. Like that Ambrose thing, but going back in, they did not pop the way they should have popped in that segment.
Overall, this will be the first time I've said this in I don't know how long. I would give it an A+. Because it kept me entertained the entire time. So how can I not give it an A+ for that? The ending was great. I mean, I marked out for the Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt team. And that spot at the end was perfect.
I'm going to have to agree with you there, man. So we're going to go to Mark for your final thoughts, best and worst match of the night. Give us a grade.
Okay, so best match of the night. I'm also having to go with the AJ Styles for Sami Zayn. However, Sami didn't land on his head in that spot was pure luck or basic instinct or who knows. Maybe someone was looking after that man. Maybe they just wanted to actually see him wrestle and not get injured again because that was insane. Worst match of the night, just because of the confusion at the beginning of the match and the ref confusion at the end of the match, I'm going to have to go with the Dudleys versus the Lucha Dragons. Grade, I'm going to have to give it a solid A. It was one of the few Raws that was actually better than the post-Mania Raw so far in a year. So that's gotten a couple past years worth of non-post-Mania Raws beat.
And for last but not least, RJ, this is going to be your first time ending the show. Give us your best and worst match of the night and give us a grade and your final thoughts on anything you want to touch on.
All right. Like I said before, best match of the night to me was Charlotte versus Natalya. Just because how unexpected, you know, the match, how good the match was and how unexpected I thought the match, you know, how good it was going to be. And since the Raw was such a great show, it's hard to say the worst match. So I just have to go with Lucha Dragons versus Dudleys. My grade for this show is with Mark, a solid A. It impressed. It was better than last week's Raw. And all I want is consistency. From here on, from this Raw on, I want consistency. Next Raw, I want to be just as good. Less talking, more wrestling. And so hopefully with the roster that they have now, which is, I mean, it's a great roster. I mean, to be a WWE fan right now, during this roster, during this era, during this time, is really you know, good for us. So I hope they continue on this, you know, this road of just great Raws, great pay-per-views. You know, I'm just hoping for the best in the future.
My best match of the night is going to be AJ and Sammy. I'm gonna go, that'll almost be a clean sweep there. I'm gonna also say that my worst match of the night, I'm going to have to give it to the Usos and the Social Outcast, just for the simple fact that it only landed the Bullet Club stuff after it, and it was about a 3-minute match, so that's just going to be my worst match of the night. I'm not going to be as generous as my comrades here. I felt it was an A-minus. There were just a couple of things that fell out of place, and a couple of the botches. That's why I don't give it an A-plus, but I do feel like compared to other Raws, this one delivered, and we need more shows like this one. I want to thank everybody for listening to us once again for this long episode. Thank you for sticking it out with us. And we want to thank everybody listening to us on Max Sports Channel, Power Station FM. If you're listening to us online, catch us at WrestlingGoonsRadio.blogspot.com. Find all of our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google+, and look for us on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search Wrestling Goons Radio. Give us a like and subscribe. We'd appreciate it. RJ, the lady to make the show with today, Brian Compton, Dan Tanner, and Mark Pitts. My name is Anthony Hammett. This is Wrestling Goons Radio, the podcast from the IWC, for the IWC, and we'll see you when we see you.